Sorry about that, everyone. So before I began my internship here with all of you 2 years ago, and even long before I started seminary school, I would have told you that ordination was a ceremony that acknowledged God's call for an individual's work in ministry. And while I was preparing for this sermon, I looked up different definitions for ordination, and that definition is not too different than some of the ones I found. But from the moment that I began speaking with other church leaders about my call and discerning if seminary was right for me, I understood that at least for some, the ceremony was just the culmination of a process. In other words, ordination could not, and maybe should not, happen without a whole process that prepares an individual for the work of ministry, and it recognizes a church, or in some cases such as chaplaincy, an organization that has called them into service. For me, the process of ordination began long before you knew there was a Robin, and long before I knew there was a GC3. Some people find it surprising that so much work in personal growth and personal theology are part of the process of becoming ordained or going through seminary. But it's important because we have to become very comfortable with our own faith and to be able to talk about it with all of you. The book stuff makes sense to people so that we can answer questions or provide meaningful context, but the personal growth stuff, they just find surprising. It's just not what we think of in preparing for ministry. But I think the personal growth stuff is the most important work I do in preparation, because now I can speak about God and His love from my own heart and my own experiences. The process has been one of getting to know God, of who God created me to be, becoming authentic, engaging in personal growth, and at times it's been very, very painful. In fact, it's been a great deal like labor pain, the pain that comes just before bringing new life into the world. During my first pregnancy, I was sick for 9 solid months. In my last trimester, I had terrible swelling and high blood pressure and was diagnosed with preeclampsia. 6 weeks before my due date, I was put on bed rest. I was afraid. I had no experiences that prepared me for what was about to happen, and so my fears were never alleviated. No matter how much I read, no matter how many Lamaze classes I took, and no matter how much explanation there was from the doctor, I still felt unsure, confused, and afraid. I wished I could have had a midwife to companion me through that time, but that was not as common 30 years ago as it is today. And I love it when the new generations find value and worth in old ways. When it was time for delivery, there were precautions that we took, including additional medications to alleviate the high blood pressure and prevent seizures, which can be deadly for women in preeclampsia. And I continued on those medications as well as monitoring equipment and mandatory bed rest for at least 24 hours after the delivery. Someone, like Bill or my mother, had to be with me at all times during that first day as Drew's mom, or they would not allow Drew to stay with me. I can only imagine what Mary must have been going through. The fear, the unknowing, the questions about her future and what lay ahead. I'm sure we have all pondered what she was experiencing those weeks and months of her pregnancy. For many years, one of the women at our former church would request Bill to sing Mary, Did You Know? During the Christmas services. And each time I hear it, whether it was Bill singing it or someone else, My heart would swell with emotion, imagining what Mary really did understand as she awaited the birth of her baby. I think Mary's Magnificat tells us that what she was experiencing. It has many references in it to the Old Testament scripture. It has references to the Psalms and even Hannah's own pregnancy in 1 Samuel. And she kept these scriptures very close to her heart and knew them well. Any woman in ancient Israel, and despite her age, Mary was a woman, understood the pains of labor, the risks that lay ahead, and the birthing process. But her songs clearly show us that she understood her labor pains would be bringing forth a new world. She first praises God and then sings of his scattering of the proud, a revolutionary moral thought for the time. And she acknowledges her lowly status and how God has disregarded the labels that we see as important. She even makes statements about how we are to use our wealth to bring about the goodness and restoration in the world. Mary says that her soul rejoices in her Savior, in God. She speaks of the Abrahamic covenant and her faith in God's promises and that he will keep them. She trusts in God and that he has her and the world in his care. Her song is her joyous yes to God's call on her life. And it's her yes to the process of preparing for ordination. I think it's also worth noting that Mary's successful pregnancy is because there were key people who rise up and meet her where she is and support her. As they acknowledge God's call on her life and her pregnancy, they ordain her as she ministers to Jesus as his mother. First, she finds a companion in Elizabeth, someone to walk with her and believe in her, someone who will acknowledge her and share in her journey. Then there is Joseph, who offers her a place in the world where she can exist without shame and without rejection, a place of safety for her and for Jesus. And of course, there are many others beyond the angels, the shepherds, and the wise men who remain unnamed, who support her and guide her, as there would have had to have been in the ancient world in order for one to survive. Actually, as there would have to be in any world, to not only survive, but to flourish. And God does intend for us each to flourish. For this moment, though, as we remember Mary's story, it's important to remember that Mary's pain, both physical and emotional, that it's Mary's pain that gives birth to God's promise of the restoration in this world. And that new world comes forth not because one person allowed it, but because many embraced it and made space for it. My own yes to the ordination process that comes in a story about my experiences as a mother as well. Over the summer, I spoke with you about my spiritual journey and how it began with three painful events: the death of my mother, Zoe's scary and agonizing diagnosis, and finally a financial crisis for both our business and for us personally during the 2008 housing collapse. During that collapse, I experienced a great deal of fear. Looking back, I realized a great deal of that fear was in my own head, imagining it was the very worst that could happen, and that the money was sometimes so short that I could calculate how long the money would last, and which bills would get covered, and would we be able to make our house payment this month. I would calculate what would happen if we didn't make the next payment, and how long we would be able to stay in our house. Would we have to sleep in a car? Would our kids be able to stay in the only school and with their only friends that they knew? I cried myself to sleep so many nights, if I even slept at all. But as it turns out, we made the payments and we survived. But the fear was very real to me. And I worried so much about my children that one night in prayer, I realized I did not have the power nor the authority I did not have the luxury of believing that I was the only one who knew what was best for my children any longer. I was humbled in a very real and a very meaningful way for me. I realized really only God knew what was best, and I turned them over to His care. I acknowledged to God that He was the one who knew what was best for them, and I promised to trust in Him. It's a promise I have returned to over and over. Every time their security was in jeopardy and I could not protect them, that pain and agony led me to giving birth to a new relationship with God, or at least a deeper relationship. And I also learned about who I was in God, and I said yes to God. Yes to where He was guiding me. Yes to everything that I was becoming. That moment gave birth to a very new journey for me, and I realized that God never intended for me to raise these kids on my own, or even Bill and I together on our own. My role was not to know everything or be everything or do everything for them. Instead, I was meant to be a kind of coach and ensure that the kids were well prepared and well supported for what lay ahead. It was our job, mine and Bill's, to protect them, to encourage them, to make sure that they were safe and had a village of people who could teach them all the things I could not. I imagine Mary had that same realization. What these painful moments have come to mean to me, both Mary's and my own, is that when I experience painful moments, something new is about to happen. It's about to be born within me and sometimes within the world. I can't say I look forward to painful moments. Honestly, as those moments come around, like dishes get passed around the Thanksgiving table, I'd like to say to God, no, thank you. I'm on a diet. I have had more than my share of pain. I'll pass this time. But that is not the way life is, and humbly I accept the serving of pain, confusion, turmoil, and I sit with it. Through prayer, I allow it to reveal something new about me, something I had not previously known, and often something new in my life that I may not have been able to experience before that pain. One example of this might be when it came time to do my internship for seminary. I began to call other churches as was required within the Presbytery of Scioto Valley to find a church I could work at. My home church was not allowed. And because it had not been, we had not had an installed pastor for several years at that point, due to some retirement of a much loved pastor, I had limited resources that I could call on in churches nearby. The relationships had become stagnant without a minister, and so it was difficult for me to just pick up the phone and call and ask people and find them willing to take on an intern. Having an intern on staff can be a great deal of work for the senior pastor, the board, and the church in general, and it's not always something churches can take on. It was frightening for me to struggle to find a church, knowing that completion of my studies depended on finding one. My search became disheartening and even painful, but I continued to look and pray, and then my advisor recommended I call here, to this church, to Gahanna Community Congregational Church, which was within her own denomination. And when I did just that and sent an email off to Pastor Rob, I found not only Pastor Rob, but also all of you. When I made myself vulnerable and took a risk, so much more open to me that I never would have experienced without the pain of hearing no at churches that were supposed to support me in this journey. And here at this church, I have come to know genuine love, relationship, encouragement, but also growth, support, and opportunity for me personally, for ministry, and now even in ordination. You, this church, the board, Pastor Rob, and specifically Donna and Brian, who have served on the pastoral committee, have become my midwives, guiding me, teaching me, directing me through specific experiences, to learn about the history and theology at this church and at the denomination, giving me perspective about the roots that my work will stem from. I have been asked to spend time and learn from current teachings with the Congregational Denomination, as well as the Association of Community Churches, and think about how I could apply these new thoughts and ideas to work within this context. I have been asked to keep communications open through meetings and written reports on progress so that they could support and facilitate new opportunities. Wow, that took a lot to get out. They have encouraged and enriched my experiences in my personal goal of becoming a spiritual director, urging me to seek out new ways to share the learning I am experiencing in that program with the people here. Lastly, they have asked me to learn from all of you, to take time to engage with as many of you as I could and just learn about what is important to all of you and what you value and what you hold dear. Maybe even what causes fear to rise up and how I might learn from you or even work to better support you in your journey. Over these last few months, I have had several conversations where the other person expressed concern over the state of the world. Each conversation has been different, but they had a similar tone. Don't you worry about the world today? Or it feels like the world is so different than it used to be. I used to feel safer, but now there is so much discourse, confusion, pain, fear, such a lack of caring. Or even it feels like something bad is happening. I have been considering this question, and I am afraid, and am I afraid of what is happening in the world today? My answer is no. Well, let me expand on that just a little. Yes, of course, I am concerned for the world today. I'm concerned whenever there is someone hungry, lacking in medical care, sleeping in the streets, unemployed, unable to flourish. Of course, I am concerned about the world when all of this is happening and so much more. But I choose to be like Mary and say yes to God, and my yes should be seen as a compass. It is my faith that God has a plan and that it will be all right. As much as I wanted to stop the pain while I was delivering my children, I never once said, "Wait, I don't want this anymore. Take it back." The pain we feel is nothing less and nothing more than labor pains. The pain women have felt for all time as they bring forth new life is the pain we feel as individuals, as a community, and as a whole world, all of creation itself bringing forth new life, restored life in God. From our pain comes something new. Rumi, a 13th century Sufi mystic, says it like this: "The wound is the place where the light enters you." This is how God acts in the world, like an empathetic midwife, encouraging us to bring forth new life from the pain we experience. These labor pains and the act of bringing forth new life from them is work that we are all called to do, much like parenting. It's sacred and it's holy, it's life-affirming and restorative, and it's something we must do together. So what does this mean for ordination and for the church? Well, I feel Gus Speth says it best. Speth helped found the Natural Resources Defense Council and was dean of the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies. And in 2013, he told a British radio presenter the following: "I used to think that the top global environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change. I thought that with 30 good years of science, we could address these problems, but I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with these, we need a spiritual and cultural transformation. And we scientists don't know how to do that yet." Now, I'd like for us to set aside any difference we may feel about climate change or environmental issue and place in that opening sentence any issue at all that the world struggles with, or even issues that belong to just our community of Gahanna, and ask yourself if the second half of that quote isn't true. I think it is. I think selfishness, greed, and apathy are at the center of all of our problems. And if we are followers of Christ, believers and trustees in the new life that Mary's labor pains gave birth to, then we have some work to do. And that work is midwifing. It's about giving birth to a world that is free from selfishness, greed, and apathy. It's the work we, the church, are made to do together. Each week, I find the work we were made to do together in the eyes of the lonely and the alone at Taylor Springs, in the smiles and hugs of our goodwill partners, in the conversations Pastor Rob and I have had or been having with community leaders as they talk about the need for better connectedness in the community and for companions to people who are struggling with a variety of social issues ranging from housing to mental health. It's in the words that are shared each week with my cohort at Wellstreams that provide a glimpse into the pain and anguish we all feel at one time or another in our lives, and in your own stories about how life has not always taken the turns you wanted it to or turned out as you had hoped. And I see the hope, the faith, the sharing, and the love you have found here together. And I know that what you have here is meant to be shared out there in our community. Our communities need chaplains who take the love and grace and mercy we receive from God out beyond these walls of the church and into the community at large, so that they can once again come to know God's promise of restoration. I believe that churches who want to carry forward in the work that Jesus ordains all of us to do have to go outside their four walls and become midwives out there. We have to become companions by being fluent in understanding and accepting and supporting others through pain and betrayal, hardship and loss, fear and confusion. I feel called to help others give birth to new opportunities, new life, and new perspectives rooted in the love we find here in the arms of God. And I am so grateful you are all in this with me. Ordination is a sacred and holy process. It begins with the recognition of the call on one's life, and it crests with the church community's affirmation of that call. It's a joyous response by the one being ordained as well as their church community to God's love and grace, which is guiding them towards certain duties and responsibilities. It's the formal consecration of the partnership between God and the one being ordained and their church community to engage in God's work of recreation and restoration. While I may have been the one actively preparing for ordination, I believe the ordination is all of ours. Our joyous yes to God's call on both our lives and our church. Some of you may know Howard Thurman through his poem, The Work of Christmas, which has become one of my favorites for Epiphany. So you may hear it again on January 1st because that's when I preach again. But it's another poem that I want to share with you today. Howard Thurman did much in his life for us to respect and revere. Among his work was his work as a theologian and a civil rights leader, and he offers us this understanding of midwifing. Christmas is waiting to be born, where refugees seek deliverance that never comes, and the heart consumes itself as if it would live, where children age before their time and life wears down the edges of the mind, where the old man sits with mind grown cold while bones and sinew, blood and cell go slowly down to death, where fear companions each day's life and perfect love seem long delayed. Christmas is waiting to be born. It's in you, it's in me, it's in all mankind.
She came to the board and said, you know, I went to seminary with the intention of getting ordained. And this is the community that I want to be able to be ordained in. This is the community where I have found the grounding of my sense of calling and the opportunity to continue forward. And so this, you know, maybe unexpectedly, is an especially joyful day in tune with our Advent theme, because the board and the pastoral committee and myself have been walking with Robin for a number of months now through things since the early part of the summer, basically, was around when we were doing this and into the year. And we wanted to have a time then at which we brought on the rest of the congregation to let you know that this is a process that Robin is going through, and that she has shown steps in that process that the board put together to task her with, and familiarizing herself more with our associations and congregationalism and community church traditions in our own church with all of you, and in continuing to show the expressions of that call that she feels. And so this was her day to be able to express to you her calling and her intention to be ordained amongst all of you as her community. And that's a really amazing thing, by the way, that we are a community that gives fertile soil for people to plant seeds of what God is doing in their life and see that grow and mature and find expression and find affirmation in that type of thing. This is a sign of a healthy church that we would have people that want to do this and that we would be supporting them. Many of us know the wonderful work of ministry that Robin has been doing to show a call by God on her life in things that she does with us in worship and in community, and what she does with the community in many of our partnerships. And so we are excited to be continuing on this journey with her, with the affirmation of the board and myself in terms of how she has been doing so far, and want to essentially bring you along as her full community, knowing that in coming months we will be looking at a full affirmation and, in fact, officially ordaining Robin, hopefully, if that continues to go. So she may contact you saying, hey, I want to work on this as part of my process. Can I talk to you about it, or can you help me with this? You may want to come to her and say, that's so exciting that our church is getting to have that deeper bond with you and in what God is doing in your life and asking you to do. What can we do together? This is something that I have a passion about. How can you help me do that? I will also give a quick distinction for this, too, that Robin has been pursuing an ordination in community chaplaincy. So different traditions have different ways of ordaining people. Some callings are specifically for sort of traditional pastoral ministry within a church. That would sort of be like the ordination that I have. But then there are also other types of unique ordinations and calls that people feel that a church is also affirming. And Robin's call to community chaplaincy in terms of helping us be midwives to the world around us, and her herself being a special midwife in that work, is essentially a good way of describing what that means, and that's what we're working towards her on. So we are really excited about the opportunity to do that together. And again, our community should feel proud that we are this type of place, that people are able to go through this type of process. And so sometime during Lent, we will be announcing a chance with more discussion with me and the board with Robin for when we will be doing that as a service. And we'll let all of you know ways that you can support that and when we'll be participating in that. So hope that makes sense. Thank you very much, Robin, for telling me.